Hi, this is Carissa at Bible Project, and this week we're looking at Genesis 1 through 11, the very first stories of the Hebrew Bible. The introductions of stories are crucially important. Think of your favorite story and how it starts. It probably introduced the main characters, began with a level of stasis or stability that's soon to be interrupted, and it probably also brought up the main problem of the story. The same is true of how the story of the Bible begins. I would go as far as to say that these initial chapters, Genesis 1 through 3, are some of the most important in the Bible to know by heart or be super familiar with. And that's because they set the stage for the entire story to come. They introduce the initial patterns that later authors use and play off of, and they have a lot to teach us about our own design and purpose and role in the world. So in the very first chapters, we meet our main characters, God and humans. Adam is the Hebrew word for humanity. If you read Genesis 1 and pay attention to the repetition of words and structures, you might notice that humanity stands out as the pinnacle of God's creation. Days 1 through 5 are pretty rhythmic in their structure and length, but when the humans are created on day 6, there's a lot more detail given, including a blessing and a command to rule, and the statement that these ones are created in God's image. This is also the only moment in Genesis 1 where the pattern of God saw that it was good changes to God saw that it was very good. And this is all in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. The point is that humans are designed to rule as God's partners on the earth. But why would he do this? Certainly the creator of the universe is capable of ruling on his own. But you'll see throughout the biblical story that this God delights in sharing his good things with humanity. He wants humanity to participate in his good purpose. His purpose is human flourishing, that this good world he created would be enjoyed and cared for by humanity, and that it would be a place of perfect love and unity between God and humans, and also among humans. So just like the introductions of our other favorite stories, here we find our main characters in a place of stability or shalom, where there's relational unity and purpose. But this is also where we're introduced to the main problem of the entire story, and that's where this mysterious tree comes in. In the middle of the garden is a tree, two trees actually, the tree of life, which represents connection and relationship to the giver of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, which represents deciding on our own, apart from connection with God, what's good and wise and how to live. The point is, the humans are faced with a choice, and it's a choice we're all faced with every day, whether we trust God and his way or go our own way. And it's the choice that plays out in the biblical story over and over. God wants people to respond to him with trust and faithfulness, trusting that he's wise and good, and that this is how the whole world will participate in the benefits of blessing and relationship with him. But like in any relationship, trust can't be forced. So God gives humanity a choice. Will they place their trust in him and remain connected to him and his good way of life? Or will they choose to discern their own path forward apart from him? And you probably know how the story plays out. The first humans turn away from the giver of life, and this starts the downward spiral that is Genesis 3 through 11. It's important to notice that even at the beginning of this downward spiral, in Genesis 3:15, God promises hope. He says that a human will come from the woman who will crush the snake. In other words, this human will deal with evil at its source. So as we read on, as the story develops, we're meant to be looking for a faithful human who will trust in God's wisdom. Unfortunately, in Genesis 3 through 11, we see the exact opposite. In these chapters, you'll observe the fracturing of relationships on every level and increasing amounts of violence. This section culminates with the Tower of Babel, which represents humanity's desire to become gods themselves rather than be connected to the true and loving Creator. So the choice to trust frames the rest of the story for the humans, and this choice also frames our own lives as humans. It's a choice to hope and trust in the snake-crushing human, and it's a choice to place our trust in the God of the universe, to trust his way, to trust that he desires that humans would flourish, and to trust that he desires that we would truly rule with him as his partners. The choice is to trust, which means it's based in relationship, in getting to know the character of God and experiencing who he is, and then to orient our whole lives around love for him and partnering with him to love the world.